Thanks for listening to our New Chapel podcast. We're for people to connect with God and be raised to new life in Christ. Be sure to connect with us at newchapel.com and on social media to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.
Well, good morning, gang. Y'all doing all right today? Yeah, it's good to see you. My name is Joe Bevilacqua. If we haven't had the opportunity to meet, you're in the hottest church on earth. And literally and socially, it is steaming. And so we're honored that you're here with us today. If you're watching online, welcome to New Chapel. Make sure that you hit share. If you're watching this digitally, share this with all your friends. Really help us out. Get the word out. We have people that have come to the church that found us online during when the world ended. And so that's pretty cool. Hey, third and final part of our series, Steadfast, Immovable, and Always Abounding. And this is actually the first message I've had the privilege of preaching. Pastor Brian did an awesome job last week. They just told me, yeah, give it up for him, guys. Pastor Brian and the team, they said, look, get a life, get out of here. I had not taken a week off since Pastor Tommy came, and they said, just get out of here with the family. So we went up to Pentwater and got wet, and it's freezing cold water up there. It's unbelievable. But anyway, so I'm glad to be back, glad to finish up this series. Make sure that you mark your calendars for next week. Everybody say next week? Yeah, next week is the start of our series, Team Church. And I'm excited to talk about who we are, because it's really going to take all of us doing our part to see God really move in our city. And that's in the context of your personality, what God's called you to do and who he's called you to be. But I'm going to show how that's pretty natural. It's going to be something that's really going to come to you for us to be able to reach our city for Jesus. It's going to be pretty cool. I have a word that I know is from heaven, and it's really from my heart today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is what it says, and this has been our passage this whole series. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This world is a roller coaster, and just take out 2020. Let's just go in Doc's time machine, go back to 2019 for a second. That was still a roller coaster, but now we're in 2020, and it's up and down, and so much of our joy and happiness, people have resigned to the latest statistic that they read or the latest poll that they read, and there's so much roller coaster to our faith, and people are asking questions like, what's going to happen to my business, my money, my health? What's going to happen to my retirement, my career? Is school happening or not? I mean, is this going to be digital? Like, we're trying to figure out what life is going to be. And it is a roller coaster in this season. And people have asked me, is this social unrest? Is this virus going to be like it? Is this going to ruin everything? Pastor Joe, are we living in the last days? Well, friend, I got to tell you, I don't know if it's like the last days. I think there's a lot of great indicators. But at the same time, if it's not the last days, it's your last days. So we got to live with a certain level of urgency in our life. But it's actually the Bible that addresses these things because there's so much unsettling in people's hearts and people's lives. This is what the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered together with him, that's the rapture, we ask you to not be, what does it say, quickly shaken in mind. People are messed up right now. People are shaken up, and God doesn't want you to be that way. In fact, for the Christian, if this is the end of everything, which I don't think he's going to come back this Rosh Hashanah, maybe next year, but I think that we as Christians have to be ready and stable and full of joy. So if there's unrest in our hearts, I just don't think that's a sign of the end times. It says, don't be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or a letter seeming to be from us. There's people sending letters to this church in Thessalonica saying that it was from Paul, and it wasn't. It wasn't from him. He's trying to say, like, listen, that's all a bunch of junk. He hasn't come back yet. They were afraid that he already came back and they missed it, or that he's coming back and it's going to be bad. And so he's trying to rate them to address these things. He says, don't be alarmed. He says, don't be alarmed if it comes even in a letter from us to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Now, why bring that up? Let me tell you something, New Chapel. The devil loves to destabilize us. He wants to shake you up. Even as a Christian, I got to tell you, when I watch the news, when I see what's going on, I've got some very loud friends on social media. Anybody else like that? If your hand didn't go up, you're probably that person on social media. You know, there's so much going on that it is troubling. But I got to tell you, we can't be shaken in the midst of all of this. The devil wants to destabilize us and mess us up. He's like that guy that yells fire in a movie theater. You know what I'm saying? And truly, what we have to do is say, God, what's true here? And how can we be stable? Whether it's the end times or whether it's just my end times, God, how do I be stable? And that's why the Bible says this one chapter later in 2 Thessalonians 3, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. If you're taking notes today, or maybe you haven't yet, take out something to take notes with. The title of today's message is The Established Heart. You need to have an established heart, a heart that's firm on a solid rock, not a heart that's insecure or fearful or unstable, an established heart, because that's where you're going to take ground in your walk with God. Somebody say amen. So the Bible says in Psalms 112, for the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news. His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. Is that you? Is that a reflection of who God has made you to be? I face things just like you, and I face the things that we're reading about and that we're seeing in this world right now. And I got to tell you guys that there's a way to live this life out where you can be stable, where you can be established in God. God has provision in his word for his kids to be established and have an established heart. Somebody say amen. Now, I've never preached from this story before. It's in Isaiah 7, if you want to turn there, but it's about King Ahaz. And I'm assuming that I'm saying that right, but really it's a lottery anytime I'm reading the Old Testament. Just to be honest, if you want me to be relatable to you, I don't know. But King Ahaz, he was the ruler over the southern kingdom in Israel. And he's ruler over this kingdom, and he's pretty solid because the ruler over the northern kingdom in Israel was a formidable enemy, but he could whoop him anytime he wanted. So he was really kind of solid. Well, here's what happened. He found out, he got word that the northern kingdom of Israel and the country of Syria went into a confederacy with each other. And all of a sudden, he's outnumbered 2-1. This is what the Bible says in Isaiah 7. When the house of David was told that Syria is in league with Ephraim, Ephraim is Israel, northern Israel, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as trees, remember that, of a forest shake before the wind. Now, a couple years ago, my wife and I were building a house. I mentioned that, and we finished and moved in last year, but it was Pastor Brian and I that cleared that lot, and I, on the Enneagram, and am an 8 with a wing 7, so there's sometimes where I look at really impossible things, and I'm like, yeah, that's no big deal. You know, I'm just completely deceived of anything that would be hard, and so we went in there with Kaya's Uncle Roy, who's like a lumberjack or something, and he had this chipper, and we cleared my lot. I'm going to go ahead and tell you that my back went out of form in ways that I can't even describe, but we cleared it. But if you've ever seen lots that have been heavily wooded, the trees grow really tall because they're all in competition for the light, right? And so in my lot, there was a bunch of jack pine. We cleared a lot of that out. That's largely a junk tree. We have some of the pretty ones, but then we had a few cherry trees, and we had a maple, and some oak. I don't like oak because they hold on to their leaves a little bit longer than I'd like, but here's what I'm trying to preach about, is I was writing this message, and I'm thinking about everything, and I've got these tall, thin cherry trees, and they're like whipping and nay-naying back and forth, everybody, and in that storm that we had, I was like, my gosh, it's going to hit me on the top of the head. It was going so wild, and that wind, that shaking is what is happening in the heart of King Ahaz. Makes me think about when we were moving from being a mobile church. If you didn't know, New Chapel was a mobile church. We had a trailer, and we did set up and tear down. First at a movie theater, down Celebration Cinema, and then we were at North Point Christian High School at Leonard and the East Beltline. We finally were renovating this facility. That was a miracle in itself. We're going to town, and I had told the church, hey, this is the last Sunday that we're going to be here. The church needed us to be out. We'd already asked for an extra month or so. And I said, we're going to be in the new building next weekend. We had sent out mailers and everything. Well, finally, it was Thursday. And so I called up. We weren't quite done with electric. It still wasn't popped on yet. And I was like, hey, I got a call for inspections. We're getting things done. Can he come tonight? And he said, hey, he's booked. And he hasn't done an inspection on Friday in 11 years. Most of his career, he's just not going to do it. I'm here to tell you, when I was on that phone call, that wind blew through me in that moment. And I said, just ask him. Ask him if he'll come out to New Chapel Christian Church and come out and do one today. Just maybe, just see if he would. And we went to town. We were wiring everything, and it was legit. We were under a licensed electrician, but he let us run some line and wire some boxes and stuff. Well, the tall and short of is this. He came that night, and we weren't done. And he came through, and he's kind of smiling. He said, I'll come back tomorrow. The first time in 11 years, the guy came out the next day. We pulled an all-nighter. We wired this church on Friday. We were putting together IKEA furniture, everything you could imagine over that weekend, and we were able to have church on Sunday. Isn't that awesome? And like God made that happen, right? Now, here's the cool thing. Those winds blew through me, but I knew how to react. I fell back on my training. I fell back on a couple of things that I learned that I knew to do that today I'm going to show you how to do those things. Now, God sent Isaiah to King Ahaz to try to intercept this whole thing and right the ship. This is what he says in Isaiah 7 and verse 4. God says to say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not, check this word, don't let your heart be faint. What's God doing? He's dealing with this guy's emotions. Verse 7, thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand and it shall not come to pass. He's giving King Ahaz a word that he can stand on. Verse 9, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. He's giving King Ahaz a warning. These three things have an answer to all of them. And if you fall back on this, if you allow this message to train you, whatever bad news that you receive, whatever highs or lows that you face in life, if you want an established heart and you do these things, you will go through it with excellence. You will come out on the other side and you won't smell like smoke if you went through a fire. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? You're going to go through hard issues in life, be counted faithful to God, and you'll come out winning on the other side. You guys want to hear about that? The first thing is this. Write it down. We are supposed to be steadfast, right? Steadfast, immovable, always abounding, steadfast, calm down, and stand firm. What did it say? Be careful, be quiet, do not fear. Don't let your heart be faint. Some of us, we just wig out when we get bad news, and we talk about everything bad that's going to happen, and you just vocalize that. Now, there's a time to vent. Maybe you have a person to vent to, but there's a time where you're just talking crazy, and you're spiraling downward because you're hearing that, and you're believing what you're saying. We say, Pastor Joe, I can't control how I feel. En contraire, my friend, yes, you can. You know, your feelings are part of your mind, will, and emotion. It's a soul thing. It's not a spiritual thing. In other words, you have those emotions, and they might be great indicators, but they're really poor leaders. And what you have to do is you have to say, God, what's real right now? I'm feeling a ton of things. I'm feeling crazy about this, but God, what's real? What can I stand on in the midst of all of this? Get your feelings under control. Get your emotions under control. I'm not saying don't be an emotional person. I'm a very emotional person, but I just don't let my emotions lead me. Does that make sense, everybody? So it makes me think about Moses when he was pushed against the Red Sea and Pharaoh's armies pursuing him and they're getting ready to get killed. And Moses looks at them and he really echoes the same sentiment. It's in Exodus 14:14. Don't be afraid, Moses says. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Why does God want us to do that? Why does God want us to gather ourselves in the midst of bad news? Because Satan, write this down. This is huge. Satan knows that words have emotional power. That's not a main point, but you should write that down. Words have emotional power. Here's what this looks like. If you're a person that has ever been in with somebody at the doctor's, or maybe you yourself have been at the doctor's, when the doctor gives you bad news, it can cut you. A hard word, some bad news like that, it can make you don't know which way's up. It can disorient you. And Satan wants to shake you to the point where you fall into inactivity, where you don't even show up for the fight. Words are powerful. Words are so strong. Makes you think about David and Goliath. 3 weeks ago, Pastor Tommy was here. Can we just give it up for Pastor Tommy? What an awesome message. And what a crazy person, you know. He hears that I'm going through a hard time, jumps in his truck, and comes up here and preaches that awesome message about David and Goliath. But one of the things was that Goliath was popping off at the children of Israel. He was putting fear into them. You know, one thing that he didn't mention in his message, Pastor Tommy, that I think is really powerful is that when David went at Goliath, he didn't go at him silent. He said, "You uncircumcised Philistine." He wasn't just like making fun of his private parts. He was saying, "I have a covenant with the living God. I killed the lion and the bear, and I got a taste for Philistine." You know what I'm saying? Don't ever run at your giants with your mouth shut. And what does the enemy want to do? He wants to fill you with fear. How? Through a bad word. Makes me think about Dodie Osteen. Maybe you don't know who she is. How many of y'all have heard of Joel Osteen? You've heard of Joel Osteen? Lakewood Church, massive arena church. I mean, that's awesome. His dad was John Osteen, the late, great John Osteen, and his wife, Dodie Osteen, is still alive, actually. But it was in the 1980s, and they had gone from Houston, where the church is, over to Amarillo to be able to take, it was a specialist that was a really good doctor. She wasn't feeling well. They did tests, and they came back, and they showed her all the different test results and the x-rays and everything. They said, "Ms. Osteen, you have pancreatic cancer." Well, her son, Joel Osteen's brother, is a doctor, a medical doctor. He was sitting right there. And she turned over and said, "What does it look like, son?" And he said, "You got like 60 days. And the doctor said, "That's exactly what we thought." The story goes that they cried all the way home from Amarillo to Houston, wouldn't you? I mean, it was just devastating news. The next day, Dodie woke up, proper Southern girl, put her face on, did her hair, and looked at herself square in the mirror and said, "I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." Do you know that that was 40 years ago? She was only given 60 days to live, and she's still alive. She's lived 25 years later than when the doctor died who gave her the news. That's the power of God's word. That's the power. And listen, doctors are not our enemies. They're on our side. Sometimes it's the church that fights against us. Well, what if it's God's? Well, what if it is? Why don't you stop taking medicine if you're not so sure? Sometimes it's nice. You go to a doctor and they're like, "Yeah, let's beat this thing." You know, at least they know what the will of the Lord is. So I'm not saying get mad at doctors, but I'm saying you believe the word of the Lord. Stand firm. Stand. You know, when that scripture, steadfast, immovable, always abounding, when it says steadfast, it's talking about being fixed. It's talking about being immovable. It's literally the word picture. If you look it up, it says like a statue. Makes me think about that statue over at John Ball Park Zoo of John Ball. He's out there with those kids. You know what I'm talking about? John Ball Park. He's been out there. He got bird poop on him. He's been through tornadoes, bad weather, good weather, hot summers, cold winters. He's up there still looking at those cheering, you know, just hanging out. Why? He's steadfast. And that's the picture that God wants to give you of your life. Like when bad news comes, it's like that bird poop. Like, I don't know, be a little while, it'll crust off. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I'm steadfast. I'm not going to move because the devil took a poop on me. You know what I'm talking about? It makes me think about the book of James. James is the half-brother of Jesus Christ. He wrote James and he said, "Don't let a double-minded man suppose he'll receive anything from the Lord." In other words, you got to be steadfast. You can't be double-minded. Makes me think about Ephesians 6 where the Bible says, "Having done all to stand, stand therefore." What? After you've stood through all of the hardship. Yeah, great. What's next, God? Stand. Really? Isn't there any better news? No, stand. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Write this down. Because God is resolved, I'm not going to be frayed. You know, like a rope gets frayed at the end. Some people become nervous wrecks and full of anxiety, and they're upset about everything that's going on in the world. And I'll tell you, if you just watch the news, you will get upset. Because, like, these people are crazy. I mean, where are their parents? Where's Madea? You know, going up just cleaning house. That's the next movie, you know, like Madea cleans house, you know. Like, where's that happening, you know? And some of these people are grown enough, they're old enough to know the difference between right and wrong. And it's lawless and it's crazy and our streets are overrun by it. And where's God in all of this? The Spirit of God loves them, wants to bring peace to them. What do we do? Got to be steadfast. We can't be moved by what we see. We have to be moved by the word of God. Number two, write this down. Steadfast, immovable, right? Get a word from God. You know it's immovable. What doesn't change in this world is God's word. I love it when a really bad situation is kind of brewing, but I know in my heart that God has promised me something and promised what it's going to be on the other end. Because, there's nothing stronger, and this is a little bit country, but forgive me, it ain't going to happen. when you can tell the devil, like, it ain't gonna happen, you have this faith in your heart that I'm gonna be good on the other end of this. God gave me a word. It's prophetic. It carries you through the hardship because you can trust God. That's the power of a word from God. Romans says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's this sensation of you taking God's word in and camping out on it. And I got to tell you, the church I came from, God bless them, they wanted us to memorize scripture, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a positive thing. But we were doing it just to do it, we had a quiz bowl thing that we would do. Like, you need to get the word of God in your heart because you need it in this world. You've got a real enemy that wants to eat your lunch, and you've got to have something to stand on. When you get a word from God, I'm going to tell you the best way to get that word established in your heart. You ready? Say it out loud. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. Every tongue that rises up against me and condemns me, I condemn, for this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. I'm blessed going in, blessed coming out. God's blessing is on my life. My Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He provides all of my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. By his stripes, I have been healed. I walk in divine health. I have vision in my eyes. I've got healing in my hands. I've got a message of hope on my mouth. See, I'm getting excited right now, everybody. That's the power of speaking God's word. See, I didn't learn that stuff to go to Bible quiz bowl. I learned that stuff because the devil hates me. And you should learn that because the devil hates you too. What an encouraging message. Come New Chapel. Hey, devil hates you and you need to learn the Bible quick. It's like the escape button on your life, you know? Because when you start speaking the word of God, there is a sensation that your spirit has. When your spirit hears your voice speak God's word, that is what establishes it in your heart. It's actually the Bible word meditation. It means to mutter. I'm not talking about people that watch online, it's like they thought I was floating there. It's talking about muttering it, meditating on it, speaking it to yourself, rehearsing it to yourself. When something bad happens, no weapon formed against me, I'm going to pray. I'll speak like that all the time. Now, people are going to think I'm crazy. They already think you're nuts. Just do it anyway, you know? Like, because it establishes God's word in your life, and that's where you're able to take ground. I heard the old country preacher say it one time. He said, don't sign for the package, meaning when you hear an awful report from the doctor or an awful report coming against your life or about your career or fear starts knocking on your heart during a pandemic, everybody. Like, when all of that happens, don't sign for the package. Like if Amazon or UPS, the ups, you know, screw ups, you know, I'm just kidding. FedEx, Fed Up, you know, whatever. I'm joking. I love those guys. But if they came with like toxic waste to your house, you wouldn't sign for the package. But some of us, we sign for fear. And the problem is this, don't sign for it, because when you sign for that junk, you got to own it. And I'm Italian. I know where to dump stuff. But at the same time, it takes a lot of effort to get that out of your life. Can I get an amen? You hung up on that. Just you got to get rid of it. And the only way to do that is it takes a lot of effort. Don't sign for the package to begin with. Trust God in the process. God's word, speaking God's word, get that word into your life. Because if you don't, you'll have more faith in the words of man than you will in the word of God. Let me tell you what I mean. Let's just imagine for a second that you were diagnosed with cancer or somebody that you knew was. And they were told, hey, you've got some tumors, and we want to do an operation and take it out. And let's say you went through it, and they put you under, and you woke up. And I don't know where the doctors are when you wake up. Like, don't you think, like, this is horrible? Like, you should be right there staring at me to tell me what happened, you know? But they trail in eventually. And what if the doctor said, hey, we got it all? I'm telling you right now, that'd be your first tweet that you'd put out there. That'd be your Facebook status. You'd be calling everybody, hey, they got it all. They told me they got it all. We went to the hospital. They got it all. Hey, we're ordering food. Come on over. They got it all. You know, you just be excited, right? You don't even know if you had cancer to begin with. You don't know if you ate something 20 years ago. And some of y'all, I know how y'all eat because you post everything on Facebook. You know, you don't know if something was lodged in a place where it was, but you don't even know if you had cancer. But yeah, he says we got it all. And that word is, why? You're standing on his word. And there's nothing wrong with listening to a doctor. But here's what I'm trying to say. There's a higher word that you can stand on. And when you stand on God's word, it can take you through all of that. And I'm thankful for doctors as experts. I'm thankful for experts. I'm thankful for the CDC and the WHO. But let me just tell you something. I can't put my faith in the experts because one expert disagrees with the next expert. And I don't even know what makes you an expert. I think it's just something you print on a business card.
My name is Joe Bevilacqua. I'm an expert. That's just ink, you know. I can make that too. I got Photoshop, you know. You can't link the train of your life to experts. You need to link the train of your life to the Word of God that outlives everything. Somebody say amen. Psalm 119, your eternal word, O Lord, stands firm in heaven. Your faithfulness extends to every generation, as enduring as the earth you created. Wow, write this down. God's word takes us from being saved. And listen, being saved is so important. But it takes you from being saved to being settled. To being a person that I'm good. I'm at peace. Man, you just got bad news. What are you going to do? I'm good. I've reeled in my emotions, and I'm standing on the Word of God. We're settled. Number three, you're going to love this. So steadfast, immovable. Third one's always abounding. That is to say, take a stand. Yeah. Well, Pastor Joe, you said you got to stand firm and be calm. Yeah, you got to stand, but there comes a point in your Christian walk, and listen to me, early on, where you have to take a stand. This is what it says in the Message, which is a translation of a translation, but it puts it in layman's terms, and I love it. Isaiah 7 and verse 9, if you don't take your stand in faith, you won't have a leg to stand on. That's good, isn't it? For some of y'all, you need to get that, put that on your fridge and get rid of some of that fluffy stuff with floral around it that your granny gave you. You don't take your stand, you won't have a leg to stand on. That's one to punch somebody in the shoulder with afterwards. Good talk, right? You get that tattooed somewhere on your arm, aren't you? No? Okay. Take your stand. If you don't take a stand, if you're not proactive in your walk with God, I'm here to tell you, the devil is going to eat your lunch. He's going to mess with you. You have to take a stand. You got to stand firm. You got to control your emotions. You got to stand on the Word of God. But then you got to take a step. See, God wants to move you from being faithful to being fruitful. He wants to go from working on you to working in you. Write that down. There's a point in your Christian walk where God wants to move from working on you to working through your life. He wants to work on your marriage and on your career and on your character. And he wants to work on these parts of your life, your business. But beyond that, he wants to begin to work through you. In fact, there's a part of your Christian walk, listen to me, you will never understand. You will never mature to a certain level unless you start serving other people. Till you start blessing people that can't pay you back. There's a part of your faith you'll never understand. But when you start investing in other people and loving on people and looking for opportunities to be generous and looking for opportunities to invite people to church and love on your brother, like when that starts to happen, it flexes a spiritual muscle that you didn't even know you had. We went to a garage sale, and it was in the country, and this awesome lady, farm lady, she's just so excited. I was buying some plants, and then she gets a shovel out, and she's digging up, you know, some, what were they? The periwinkle, and then there's snow caps, and all kinds of, it's like she's telling me what these is. I'm like, whatever, lady, I'll take whatever you give me, you know, and just, we're doing all this stuff, and I planted all those in this hill. I'm trying to keep from erosion, and I woke up the next day. I found out I had muscles that I didn't know I had for a long time. Did somebody whistle? Do you whistle? Okay, thank God it was you. Oh, hey. That's what got us into this anyway, so you better control yourself. We're in church. Okay. Where was I? Muscles. I had muscles that I didn't know that I had. When you start serving somebody else and loving on somebody else and not holding on to your life so tight, and you start blessing other people, it's going to flex a muscle you didn't know that you're going to grow to a level you never thought you could be. You're going to be a person that you never saw yourself as. So in 1 Corinthians says, be steadfast, immovable, and always abounding. Here's what it's talking about. God has called you, whoever you are, not just the man of the house, but like everybody, to be a minister to yourself, to your family, to your job, to your church. God's called you to be a minister. You say, Pastor, I thought you were the minister. What are we paying you for? I'm the pastor. I'm coach. I'm not the minister here. You are. And if I can get that into Western Michigan and pancake this thing, that's when we're going to take ground in the city. That it's not all about me.
I might have direction from heaven, but God wants to turn this audience into an army. He wants to turn all of these people that are from different backgrounds, different walks of life, and turn you into a minister from sinners to saints. We can take ground together. We can take ground in people's lives. What are you saying, Pastor Joe? Serve when you've been fired. Some of you have been let go or furloughed. Serve. You got nothing else to do. Worship in the week, in the day when you get bad news. Make the decision to give when you don't have two dimes to rub together. Speak life when things in your life are decaying. Does that make sense? You got to go countercultural on all of this and take your stand. And when you do it, the Bible says in Galatians 6, don't grow weary, because you're going to reap if you don't lose heart. It's so easy when things bad around you to think, I gotta start doing the right thing. I gotta start speaking life. You know, some of you guys, you dug your own hole. You're like 6 foot under. And every once in a while you come into the house of God and you're able to peek above that little grave you dug for yourself. And you look over and there's a race going, and you get excited about the race, and you're like, I'm supposed to be in that race, Pastor Joe, but I'm down here. You know what the hardest thing to do is? Be patient enough to let them run and start to fill in that thing and dig yourself out of a hole, and then jog your little fluffy self over to that road and begin to work out a little bit and then start running that marathon. And by the time they go around again, you're running with them. I see people that get excited about ministry and they fizzle out in a couple months. People get excited about serving, or they get excited about an outreach. All of a sudden they're gone. Where'd you go? I don't know. Where'd they go? You can't be deceived by this world. You have to take a stand. It takes years in many cases. Our first pulpit was a janitor's car. You know what I'm talking about, everybody? Kai's cleaning the church. I'm working 60 hours as an intern, getting paid $100. Come on. And for you in your life, you'd be like, I'm not called to ministry. Oh, yes, you are. But your ministry is in the context of where God put you, who He's called you to be. The family that He puts you in, the people that you work with, the people that you find yourself in line with at Meijer, to invest in those people. And that's why I love our Go team. They're the people that are pouring your coffee, or actually handing you a sterile coffee this morning. They're the people taking care of your kids and greeting you. Our Go team is phenomenal because steadfast, and they're immovable, but they're always abounding. They're living a life that's serving other people. And guys, they've made the decision to make a difference in someone else's life. And that's in every single person in this room. There's a call on you to make an investment in someone else. Our Go team, by the way, after this service, we have what we're calling a rally point. It's going to be an all-team meeting. And if you're on the Go team, we need you there. And we got free pizza. It's going to be a riot. In fact, I'm going to beeline it. When I dismiss you guys, I'm going to make sure nobody can leave without looking at this mug. But if you're interested in joining the team, maybe you served in the past and you're thinking about jumping back on, or maybe you just want to stoke those coals and make sure that you're part of everything, jump into the Go team meeting after the 11 o'clock service today. Be a part of what God is doing through this church. Somebody say amen. Now, guys, listen. These are steps that I have taken in my life. Like, I'm not immune from some of the bad news that you get. I'm not immune from living in a real world where bad things happen. I get bad news. But I've learned this process of controlling how I feel, standing on the Word of God, and in the midst of the trial, taking a step forward for the kingdom. And what happens is the most mature Christian, check this out, they've learned that when they advance the kingdom of God, they are advancing their own life at the same time. God doesn't make the discernment in between the two. That's how 6 hours after my nephew's killed in a car accident, who was like a son to me, I can stand in front of this church and preach from this pulpit. That's how on the week that my dad passed away, 2 weeks ago now, I'm able to come in here and we sing "He Gave Morning for Dancing," and I can take my fluffy self and dance in the front row because He has taken my morning for dancing. That's how when Kai and I didn't have two dimes to rub together, we were still generous in giving away vehicles that we needed, but we didn't. We didn't have enough for the bill, but we had enough for the seed, and we trusted God in the midst of all of it. Are you seeing this? It's counterintuitive to live in the kingdom, but you don't hold on to your own life. Jesus says, if you lose your life for my sake, that's when you'll truly find it. One last story, and then I want to pray for you.
5 years ago, my dad was turning 75, and he'd gone through this health issue, and he had a block in his gallbladder. Long story short, it really spiraled to the spot where he was in a wheelchair and needed assistance, and things were looking really, really bad. My brother called me up and said that the caseworker at this rehab place said, "You need to get his will in order." I was praying. I said, "God, what do you want me to do?" And after praying for a little bit, I felt like God gave me a word. And this might sound crazy to you, but it made a lot of sense to me. God can do and explain in just a couple of words what would take 5 hours to explain to another person. He said, "You go and you pray for your dad and take the sheet off his feet and take some of that hospital lotion, put it on his feet. You anoint the sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith and it'll save the sick." That sounds nuts. And I went in, my dad, you know, he's a straight-laced guy, old school Italian. I said, "Dad, I'm going to pray for you." He says, "Good. I'd be praying for your feet, you know, and to be laying hands." So I did it, and he was actually really accommodating and accepting and understood what was happening. I prayed for my dad, and it took a lot of sweat equity along with that prayer, I will say. But God spared my dad, and we had 5 years with him. The last couple of months, my dad wasn't feeling well, and I remember talking to Kaya a couple months ago. I was like, "I don't have a word. I don't have a word. I'm like, God, give me the word. Give me the word." Well, the whole time, my dad was so good with going home. In fact, he'd get a new caretaker and say, "Are you saved?" They say, "What? Are you going to heaven or hell?" Do you know? He was very soft that way, the way he dealt with people. And but you know what? He was so good, and he would even tell us, like, "I'm going home." His grandson, Michael, the one I just mentioned, was in heaven. His other grandson, he was so good. I didn't get a word, and I wondered why. Well, Dad passed away a couple weeks ago. And as I was praying about what happened, trying to do the archaeology of, "God, where were you?" and all of it, I felt the answer was that I had the word. See, when COVID hit and it changed all of our series, we were sitting trying to figure out what July was going to be. And we said, "Okay, we're doing Drive Into Freedom." But then I got like 3 weeks. What do we do? Like a bunch of standalones? And the team said, "Well, you got anything?" I said, "I've had the series, Steadfast, Immovable, Always Abounding in My Heart." They said, "Go with that. That sounds awesome." And so we went with that series. Well, that's 1 Corinthians 15:58. Be steadfast, immovable, always abounding. You read 1 Corinthians 15, and it's God's love letter to me in the season. It says, "Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting?" It talks about how we're sown in corruption and raised in incorruption, how we're sown in weakness but raised in strength, how we put on a glorified body. And as I read through that whole chapter preparing for today, I realized, God, that was the word, is that it's all okay. He was okay with going to heaven. In fact, funny story, the last day that he was talking, it was the day before he passed, you know, you're concerned, you don't know what he's saying, if it's delirious or something like that. It wasn't, but every once in a while he'd be going like, "Come on," he's laying down, he's going, "Come on, come on," and my brother PJ's like, "What do we do?" You know, and that finally hit me. He's praying, he's talking to God, he's saying, "Come on, come on." That's a guy that's made peace with death. No sting there, right? What does that mean for you? You can establish your life on God's word. No matter what storm comes into your life, you can put your feet on that solid rock and trust that your God will carry you from hell to back. You will be victorious in him. And no matter what trial or temptation comes your way, you will emerge victorious in Jesus. Somebody say amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the word that you brought in here today. God, I thank you for ministering to people's hearts that, Lord, you're talking to people right now about areas that they need to grow in, about areas that they need to get involved in, about jumping into your word in a real way. God, I pray that my church would be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Just with your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want you to repeat after me for a second. I feel like we need to make a declaration of our faith. Repeat this after me. I am established in Jesus. He has put my feet on a rock. It's my time to be all that God has called me to be. God has called me to be steadfast, immovable, 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 and always abounding in the work of the Lord. with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that you have cemented that in our hearts, that we can be established in you. And Lord, I pray that if there's anyone in the sound of my voice that doesn't know you, God, I pray that you'd help me to find them in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, what I want to do is give you an opportunity to make peace with God. If you've never made peace with God before and have never prayed a prayer of salvation, or maybe you did a long time ago but have never made peace with him since and things are just unsettled in your walk with God, I want to give you an opportunity to pray a prayer. It's of dedication and consecration that if you mean it, the Bible says that he'll make all things new, that you'll avoid that Christless hell and have an eternity with God. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you repeat this prayer after me? If you're a Christian, repeat it as a declaration of your faith. If you're far from God, this is your moment. Say this: Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross in my place for my sins so I can be forgiven. You raised him from the dead. This I believe. So with my heart and with these words, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord. I surrender now. Jesus, I call on you. Come into my life. Forgive my sins. Put your spirit within me. I receive all that you have for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for making all things new. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give it up for those people that accepted Christ? Proud of you. Whether you're watching online or inside the auditorium today, proud of you. Now listen, if you did say that prayer for the first time, or maybe you're coming back home, I don't want you to be like, what did I do on Monday morning? I want to give you next steps. So on our website at newchapel.com, we already said that first-time visitors are going to be going on there. If you have a prayer request, you can go on there. But if you accepted Christ today, whether in the auditorium or online, I encourage you, go on there to the Connect with Us and fill out that connection card. Let us know about the decision that you made. I'm going to send you a little note talking about next steps that you can take in your faith, be able to get closer with God. You need to find a church home. You need to get baptized in water, find a place to serve. And listen, I'm not going to put you on some crazy mailing list. I just want to tell you what is next. Can we give it up for those people one more time? Come on, New Chapel, death to life. Hey, stand up on your feet, gang. A couple of things are going on next week. Everybody say next week. Next week is our series called Team Church. Don't miss it. I'm going to be preaching next Sunday, and I've got a message that's really burning in me. It's going to be exciting, but hopefully we fix the AC, and it won't be burning in church. We've actually diagnosed that, so it will be nice and cool. In fact, I'm going to cool you out when that happens. And then also, after this service, like as soon as this ends, we're going to have ushers that are taking chairs out there, and in our Cafe Commons area, we're going to be having a Go Team rally point. So if you serve on any team, you got to jump in, grab some pizza. If you're interested, you just want to hear what's going on, hear what I got to say, hang out with us, meet some people after church today. If you have a need in your spirit, soul, or body, we'd love to agree with you. You can go online, let us know about your prayer requests at newchapel.com/amen. Can I pray for you real quick? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. And as you go, see you at the meeting.
We hope that you were encouraged and brought closer to God during this message. You can listen to any of our past messages and series either on this podcast or on newchapel.com/watch. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram to stay up to date on everything happening here at New Chapel.